Today, this is a message I have never brought. Okay? After 40-something years, this one, and I just thought, I don't know if I want to bring it now. Because, I'll tell you why, and this is one that myself and most pastors just don't deal with. Because in a human perspective, it's really weird. Okay? It's like, is there something in Scripture that's weird to you and me? Was it to God? But over in the Old Testament, way over there, in Numbers. And Numbers chapter 22, we got a little, just a touch. We're going to start in 23. But there's a happening here that pastors don't like to bring a message on because it's just weird. And it's so out there, extraordinary, that you have to really search this. This is a researched message, which I enjoy doing on messages and God's Word and material. But, man, and it's like, why did I miss a lot of this stuff? Because, Tony, it was just, always, even in seminary, it's like, there's some passages you just don't want to get involved in, and this is one of them. Because, yeah, how do you handle some of this stuff? So we're going to go to it and just tackle it. And I'm going to take my time as much as I can with the time we have. But we're going to start with Numbers chapter 23. I'm just going to read a verse. And I'm using the New Living Translation because it's hard enough as it is. So I want to use a real modern translation that brings the story out. And the insights that we can gain from it. But you can call this, this, which shall you choose? Which shall you choose? And you can call it, will I or will I not? I had all kinds of titles for this. God's will be done, all this. And finally decided, which will you choose? And then we go to Numbers 23, 19 and 20. And in the New Living Translation, it says, now listen to this. This is important that you get this first part because it saturates. You must allow it to saturate through all the rest. And here's what it says. It says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. Right here this morning, and some listening out there, you need to know God is not a man, so he does not lie. People lie. And sometimes we get to thinking, we start thinking, and the devil puts these things in our minds, and people that don't believe real well have a lot of faith. God's not doing what he says he'll do. He's not fulfilling his word. He said this and this and this, and you're praying, and it's not happening yet. The devil always, and those who serve him, want you to believe that God doesn't speak the truth. He does. And keep this in mind, because this is actually after what we're going to get into, but it was said because of a prophet here that was for hire. He hired himself out to prophesy. He was more like a soothsayer, but a prophet at the same time. He was one of those guys that had a heart divided. So God finally laid it down the line with this dude, and we're going to start with that part because it saturates and filters through all the rest. So God is not a man. He does not lie. He's not human. So he does not change his mind. So for all the people out there who are saying, God, aren't you progressive? Society accepts certain sexual behaviors, certain lifestyles. It accepts this, it accepts that. And you must be reminded, God does not, he's not human. He does not change his mind no matter what society does. So just stop it. Let it go. He's not going to change his mind. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word doesn't change. So no, God's not going to change his mores, his ethics, his principles, his doctrines, because society or many woke churches want him to. Besides, I'll say this, and it's true. If a church says it's woke, then it has denied its God. And it's an apostate church. You can't do both. I know that's a strong statement, but God is not a man. He does not lie, and he's not human, so he does not change his mind. So I'm going to say to everybody here, get married to God. Truly, through Christ, we have a marriage relationship with Christ. By accepting him with God, we're brought into the family. And you know, and we focus so much on the material things, on the fleshly relationships. Get married to God through Christ. He will not lie to you, and he will not change his mind. Listen, one of the things in marriage you've got to get used to is never think that what they said yesterday is going to apply today. Does anybody have that rough experience? Nobody, not what's the matter with you guys? You won't, not one of you raise your hand. And yet I'll sit out there and hear it all the time. And said, guys come to me and they say, she is so mad at me. Give me some pointers here. What am I going to? I said, well, what happened? And I hear the whole story. And it's like, so she told you a couple of days ago, blah, 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 this really, she really liked it. Yes. So what'd you do? Well, I did it again. And what'd she do? She got mad. And I'm not just picking on you ladies. Guys, we do it too. The thing is, we change our minds. We're emotionally influenced. We have all kinds of factors and things and processes working on us. God won't change his mind. What he said yesterday, he means today. And tomorrow you can go out there and find out that he means the same thing. And that's it. So keep this in mind, because it weighs in on our entire thing. By the way, I wanted to say this before I started, but I want to start it now. And this thing with people and how we are. One of the things we want to learn from this whole experience out here, and I appreciate you putting this little thought in my mind, Anna, that if you're going somewhere, you're going to be staying somewhere, let people know. Let somebody know so that you can be accounted for. And so that people know you're okay and not be looking for you and thinking you're not. I just needs to be said. Always, I'm a violator of that. For many, many years, when I go on my little vacation, I take off and I go where nobody knows where I'm at. They know I'm in a state, but I'm going to start trying to be better with that. And let somebody at least know I'm going to be in this area here. We should do that, right? If there are many lessons we learn from the flood and all that, is let people know exactly where you are. You can still have your privacy, and someone you trust, let them know. Then somebody's not sitting there saying, are they dead? Let them know. And anyway, back to this. That you know, we're talking about the human factor. So now we know God's not human. Listen to this. Some of you need to hear this part. You need this part. Has God ever spoken? Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? This is from the Lord. So if God told you something, if he put something in your heart, he says it in his word, just because it hasn't happened yet, don't quit on him now. He's preparing you, preparing them, preparing it, whatever it is, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now, I wish I could stay on this the whole rest, but I can't. Because now we move into 22, and we find the most weird experience. You say, are you building this into a little drama? Hey, without drama, life's boring. It is. Now, some of you don't need so much drama in your personal lives, but we've got to have a little excitement here. We've got to add some feeling to it and some suspense. Titled it this way. God's directive will. Doctrinally, biblically, God has, there's two wills that you can get received from God. His directive, which we more often call perfect will. And then there's his permissive will. And this is where people get into lots of trouble, but we'll talk about his directive will first. In chapter 22, verses 10 through 12, and I'll give you a little a little background to this. As a matter of fact, I wish I included verse 7, but I didn't. But let me just kind of preview it. There is a prophet for hire. He is divided in heart. Yet God used him, but others wanted to use him. And his name is Balaam. And people, and this is why we're told not to preach on this. It's just too weird. But Balaam is one of those guys that I see more and more today, never, that's divided in heart. Won't take a positive stand and have to be forced to do it. Won't speak on anything controversial. Won't deal with, you know, look, Daniel and I were talking about this past week. And I was saying, if you're not willing to preach or teach on something controversial in the scripture, about 90% of it you can't mess with. Isn't that the truth? No matter what you bring in the Word of God, it's going to offend somebody. It's controversial. And that's the way it is. You have to accept that. When you teach or preach the Word of God, it's going to be controversial to somebody. So, here we are. Here's this guy, and he's a prophet, diviner, whatever you want to call him. He just doesn't know which side of the fence he needs to be on yet. And there's a problem. The Israelites are coming. And the other nations, the kings of these heathen nations that the Israelites, are God's given to them, they're going to subdue them in the promised land. And so they're afraid. And one king in particular, he got really upset. And so his name's Balak. And if don't name your son that, okay? But and this is my son Balak. And so Balak's messengers, who were elders of Moab and Midian, they set out with money. Here, now watch this. They set out with money to pay Balaam to preach a curse upon Israel. Now, why would they send money to Balaam unless they knew he was waffling? Because if he'd been a true prophet of God, you'd never attempt to bribe him or pay him off. So they knew, hey, we can buy this guy. We can, enough money, and it's true, enough money can buy a lot of people. Just go speak to any congressperson or senator and see how much money plays into all that deal. And if y'all don't like it, straighten up and get right. I don't care. You know, there's one thing about reaching a certain age. You don't care. Don't care. You're just gonna let it fly. Yeah, just don't care. And you love people, and you love God, love people, but don't care. Let them get mad. Don't care. So here it is. And so they come, and they're going to pay this guy off. So they know he loves money, and they know he's not a strict prophet of God like all the rest of them. He's sure not a... he's not like some of the rest, is he? And I mean, there's prophets of God in here you read about, and man, they'd slaughter false prophets. But here, anyway, here's this guy. And so Balak says, we can pay him off. And so they bring the message. And guess what he does? Boy, you know, he tells them to spend the night. Now, for crying out loud. So, okay, they spend the night. And they deliver the message. And he said, stay the night. And in the morning, I'll tell you whatever the Lord directs me to say. Now, get this. They're coming, and they're giving him money, and they're saying, King Balak wants you to pronounce a curse on Israel. And this guy is so riding the fence and so waffling, he has to go and ask God, what do you want me to do? And yet, how many people are doing that? When you know what's in the Word of God, it's not going to change his mind. Yet this guy, he okay, y'all stay over the night, and I'll go ask God if he wants me to what? Curse his people. I mean, seriously? That's what we're dealing... That's why this is so weird. I mean, this is like... But yet, aren't there a bunch of people, and they're getting rich through the Word, pretending to be something they're not, as prophets of God? And they waffle all over the place? So, man, you talk about relevant, and don't we... How many of you waffle with your best friends, with some of your family members, with some of your kids, and you know better? You know you've got to step on one side of the fence to the other, but you don't want to hurt any feelings. Now this guy, he obviously loved money and they knew it. And so he asked these people, which no true prophet of God would do, spend the night, I'll go ask God if he wants me to curse his own people. Well, it gets better. Some of you know this, you've read through it, but man, it's great when you can just get in there. So that night, God came to Balaam and he asked, and this is where we break into it on our passages. He said, who are these men staying with you? Now, God knew, but he wanted to see if he'd tell him the truth. He tested. And by the way, God will test you. He will test me. He will put you in circumstances to test you so you can look at yourself and say, am I what I'm supposed to be? He doesn't do it maliciously or mean. It's to help us to grow. We think we're better than we are, and sometimes it takes things and it humbles us. And we find out, oh, I got some areas to grow up in. God help me. Okay. So he said, who are these men? Are you gonna lie to me? Or are you gonna tell me the truth, prophet? So so Balaam said to God, told him the truth. Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, with a horde of people. So you gotta build some drama here, right? He's got a horde of people. I don't know what to do, just poor little old me and a horde of people. You see this scenario? I love it. I don't love it, but I mean, I like the way that he's doing this. He's so human. This is what people do all the time. You know, when somebody gets mad at somebody else, and here's an example. Somebody gets upset in the church. You know what they always do? I've seen it over all these 40-something years. They go try to find other people of like mind that they can gather together as a little support group so they can all be mean to somebody. Especially if they get something against the pastor, or if there's a staff, the associate pastor, or the music guy, or whatever, or one of the trustees, or one of the directors, and then they get a little group together, let's go get them. So then they've got this mob out here. Look, a horde of people has arrived, you know. And anyway, but he's talking about the horde of people from Egypt, and God, be impressed, I'm surrounded by these people, and God's probably thinking, I can't thank for God, but I would be, you know, and thinking, so why did you ask these guys to spend the night? Anyway, he gets the message that a horde of people, and he's talking about the people of Israel now, this right here, has arrived from Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come and curse these people for me. Then perhaps I will be able to stand up to them and drive them from the land. You want to see a patient, loving God here? If you were God, would you be tempted to just strike this man down on the spot? How dare you come and insult me like this? By even entertaining these people. But God said, told Balaam, he puts up with him like he puts up with us. What did he say? Catch this. Do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed. Now, you see why it's important that we read that other part to begin with? God's not a man. He won't lie, and he's not going to change his mind. So God's told him. Now, it's like this. Okay, Balaam, you shouldn't have had to come to me in the first place. You should have known what the answer is. And they should have known better than offer you money to try to bribe you to come do this. But this event's happening. And so the next morning, Balaam got up and he told him, go home. The Lord will not let me go with you. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about God's perfect will. You shall not go with them. You shall not curse Israel because they're blessed. Friends, when God says it, that should be enough for his people. That's it. You don't have to go back again, but we do. We want him to change his mind. God's word is final. It was final for Balaam. It's final for us. God's word must be final to us. We can't question. You start waffling, you start questioning, and down you're going to go. The devil will get you. And the difficulty is, here's the problem. God's word is final, but the problem is not everyone is finally committed to God. Too many people are divided in heart. They haven't totally sold out to the Lord. So that makes us open to bribes from the enemy. Temptation, sin, lust, covetousness, greed, when we're not really totally sold out. See, there's a lot of people, the Christian people, but they hold a piece of their life for themselves. We just don't want to let go. We're afraid to let go. It's this piece of me that I'm just going to cling to. I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing, and God's saying, I want you to let that go. That's not good for you. And yet, no, I'll let everything else, but I'll go to church, I'll worship, I'll tithe, I'll do everything. But God, there's no but. If he says it in his word, do it. That's it. Thank you, I need that. So that's his directive, perfect will. He has spoken. That should be it. But in this bizarre happening, it's not it. Now here is where we see our own humanity tied up in this guy right here straddling the fence. So that's it. Now we come to God's permissive will. You say, what? God has his directive, perfect will, but he has a permissive will. And you want to look at it? Let's read this right here. In 22, 15 through 23, and Balak, these Moabite officials, now listen, this king didn't give up. So he sends these distinguished people. I have to tell you part of the story for the sake of time. He sends even very more distinguished nobles to the prophet with more money. More money. And they here's the problem. He invites them to spend the night. God, what's wrong with you? You're entertaining evil. Well, let me say something. Let God say something to you. How many of you have entertained evil? You knew not to do what you were doing. You knew not to spend time with certain people. You knew you not don't keep them in your house, but you did, and you suffered for it. They brought bad. They brought evil. You had all kinds of nasty spirits around after they left. And you went to stay with somebody else, and the same thing happened. You knew not to go there. We've done it. We've all done it. We've all messed up like this. And you pay a price for it. There's consequences for that. Often God removes those consequences. And you don't have to pay too much, but they're there. Now here's these people, and they send these nobles, and this guy invites them, won't you stay over? And not only that, you can read it here. He says, I'll go and inquire for God again. Maybe he's changed his mind. That's why we read the other part. And don't get down on him too much, because haven't we all done it somewhere? Well, God, I know what you said. I know what you led me to say and do. But maybe you've changed your mind. And so they delivered the message, and Balaam responded. And he said, but he did say, he said, even if the king Balak were to give me his whole palace and all this stuff, and I won't go against God. But then he said, but I'll go ahead and inquire before the Lord. In other words, I'll go ask God if he's changed his mind. You need to read all this. I'm paraphrasing it for you, but you need to read the craziness in this. So Balaam responded, Balak's message, said, I can't do this. And that night, now here's crucial. Ready? Verse 20. That night, God came to Balaam and told him, since these men have come for you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you to do. Uh-oh. Do you catch this? God told him not to go. But Balaam comes back and asks God again, and God says, okay, go. God says, don't be married to unbelievers. Don't be mismatched. Don't be matched up with unbelievers. And yet we come before God and we meet someone and we're all crazy about them and we're all caught up in them and we're asking God, is it okay if I marry this person? Is it okay if I marry this person? Is it okay if I marry this person? And God's already told you in his word not to. But if you keep pushing it, God will give you his permissive will and say, go ahead. Go ahead. Does that mean you have his approval? Not at all. It's just like a parent, you know, with a kid. They keep pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. Finally say, go ahead. Can I play with kitty? Kitty scratches. Can I play with kitty? Kitty scratches. And dads are more prone to do this than moms are. Go ahead and pet him. Then mom comes running in there. You let him pet that cat. It's the only way he'll learn. He won't shut up. He keeps asking me and asking me. Listen, you had a perfect will, directive will. Don't pet kitty. But they won't quit. They keep pushing it. Anybody ever done this? Maybe not with kitty, but other things? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. And then, you know, mama comes in, or their mama, or Aunt Tilda, whoever it is. And there's no Tildas here. Okay, good. And you know, what have you done? You let the kitty. It's the only way they're going to learn. They keep coming. I'm tired of this. And so this is the way they're going to learn. They won't listen to me. This is God's permissive will. You won't listen to what he told you the first time in the first place, and you come back and keep pushing, just like he did, and you let these people spend the night. You've done everything you know you're not supposed to do, and finally God said, go ahead. And they still don't. No, we never learn, do we? Now listen, God told him to go ahead, but God had told him not to, and now he says, okay. Just do what I tell you to do. And this is where we run into... Well, let me give you this. Balaam's heart was divided. He was a prophet for hire. He was divided between money, possessions, and God. And so God tested him. These are just some notes I want you to have. And then I'm going to give you some practical insights on this. So God told Balaam, first time, don't do it. Don't you go do it. Don't even think about it. Don't curse my people. I blessed them. And God was testing Balaam here when he said, go ahead, because he wanted Balaam to really tell him, no, Lord, I know what you're saying, but I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have come back to you and pushed it. You told me not to. I'm standing on that. And he would have been blessed. But instead, he disobeyed the Lord, and God said, fine, go ahead. Go ahead. See what's waiting for you down the road. And how many of you have done this and you found out what was waiting for you down the road wasn't that pleasant? And you said, if I'd have just listened to God, what he said in his word. If I'd have not gone into debt with these people here. If I'd have not made that purchase. Because God told me, don't be indebted to anyone. Don't owe anybody anything but to love one another. And look what I've done. Yeah. Well, that's what this guy did. So get up and go with them. And so the next morning, Balaam got up and he took off on his poor donkey. I feel sorry for the donkey more than Balaam. God tested him. He failed. God said, don't go. But listen, you know what one of the key things here is besides a divided heart? Money was involved. The desire for riches. Almost every human being and every Christian has to fight. It's hard not to desire wealth. It's hard to seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness and not be seeking wealth. This doesn't mean that money's evil. Love of it is. So here we go. And there's a whole lot involved here. And he would go and see if God would change his mind. Listen, no true prophet of God, you keep this in mind. No true prophet of God, no true pastor would have asked God again, and none of them would have let evil people stay in their house that they knew already was trying to tempt them. Listen. Oh, God, I sound like I'm out in the military. Listen, you. Sorry. Please listen to the Lord. Don't entertain evil in any form. What you subtly entertain today will subtly grab you tomorrow. It'll suck you in, and you'll begin to be less acutely aware of sin in your life and of the evil things. You'll start accepting and tolerating stuff that you know is against God's will. So, here they go. And let me tell you this story, then you read it for yourself to be sure it's all accurate. Because I have to tell you, so we won't be here that long. They take off, but listen, here's a verse that you need to mark down in verse 22. Verse 22, chapter 22, verse 22. You ready for this? This is why they say, don't preach on this. You know, don't preach on this stuff. God told him to go ahead, but God was angry that Balaam was going. So he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. And as Balaam and his two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, and he bolted out of the road. How many of you have ever stood there hoping that your son, your daughter, would change their mind about that date with that creep they brought home? And you see them drive off with them, and you're looking out the door or through the window, and you're heartbroken because they knew better and they did it anyway. And you stood there with anguish, knowing what it was going to probably lead to. And most likely did. You let them go because they kept pushing you. You didn't want to demand. You already told them that this person's not good for you and they won't listen. Same thing here. And now God was angry. And see, this is where, and it's like people get confused on this. You shouldn't. We are to understand it real well. We do it, and we've done it in our own lives and had it done to us. God's already told you what to do in His Word. So why do you come back and ask Him to change His mind? And you keep pushing. You see, when we keep pushing God's will, God will give His permissive will. That does not mean you have His blessing. He's just saying, go ahead and get scratched. Go ahead and get bit. Get bitten, that's the only way you're going to learn. In this case, though, because this was a prophet of God, and there's a harder sentence on prophets myself. Not, you know, we're judging a little more strictly. There's an angel standing with a sword in his hand. He's going to kill him. It tells you in here, he's out to kill him, and the donkey saw it. And he drew away, and Balaam, being such a great prophet of God, such a Christian man in here, you know, he beats the donkey. He's beating the donkey. And so the angel of the Lord moved to a narrow place, and he's standing there to kill him, and the donkey does it again. And in a fit of rage, it says Balaam beat the animal with his staff. And here's why we're told not to preach this. This is just out there, right? Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. Now, If I could say this the way you would just really get the message, but I can't. But you get enough of it. Because the King James doesn't call it a donkey. Okay, and you can read that. Because it means that, you know, out of the mouth of that donkey, there's more sense than you have, Balaam. The Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. And what have I done to you that deserves your beating me three times? It asked Balaam. Can you believe this? A donkey speaking. Now, when you read and you study theology and breakdown, and you get into symbology, and what was this literally what happened, or was it, you know, were these impressions on Balaam's mind? And here's a raging debate that never goes away, still in seminaries all over the place, if they're at least a bit, you know, conservative. You know, animals don't speak. I have one response to that, only one. But it's one that stands me and convinced that, you know, God can give them voice. If creatures, right, don't speak, then how did the serpent speak in the garden? God gave voice to the serpent. It didn't have impression. It spoke. So there was a voice in that serpent. And God gave voice to this donkey. And I'll tell you something. When you're acting like a donkey, he just might speak some more sense out of a real donkey than the way you're acting. You follow me? And that's what Balaam was doing. And so the donkey speaks. It really wasn't a donkey. The Lord put a voice in her to speak for him. You know, God can use anything. I don't know why people think this is so wacky, but told not to mess with it, but I'm messing with it. And here's what Balaam says. He responds to a donkey. And you know what he says? Why have you beaten me and all this stuff? And then the donkey speaks. And you know what Balaam's only response is? Because you made me look like a fool. I think he's made you look like a donkey. I'm the same donkey you've ridden all your life, the donkey answered. Have I ever done anything like this before? No, Balaam admitted. And then it says, the angel opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand, and Balaam bowed down his head and fell face down. And then he's asked, why'd you beat the donkey? But what we want to learn here, Balaam's donkey refused to go forward because it had more sense than Balaam had. The donkey saw, listen to this, the donkey saw what was really there. Balaam saw what he wanted to see. That's one of our problems in this Christian walk. We see and hear what we want to see and hear rather than what God is saying and what God is revealing. That's how you get in trouble. And I'm going to tell you an old military strategy. And here it is. And it works. And it's worked over and over. Let the enemy see what they want to see. And then we'll come in on them. The devil does it to us all the time. I know how to get them. Let them see what they want to see. And I got them. You live out where I live, you better be looking. Not seeing what you want to see, but you better see what's there. And you better hear what's there. Rattlesnakes now don't rattle like they used to. They've adapted. But you can hear them crawling, and you hear just that little bit of ch-ch-ch-ch as they're crawling. You better be attuned to that. And that's what I usually find now. I don't hear that. Zzz. No, it's just that little clacking, a little rattle or two as it's trying to move through that brush and that grass. And that's how I know. And you ought to be watching and listening. And don't get all whacked up in your thoughts and seeing and hearing what you want to see. You're going to get in trouble. And that's true in all of our life. I know we got close. Here we go. So let me give you God's lessons concerning as well. You ready? There's more to this story, and here's the bottom line. Israel didn't get cursed. And this guy went home shamed by his mule, because he was a bigger mule, donkey, than his donkey was. So here's God's lessons concerning his will. You ready? This is a lesson teaching, insight teaching message. You cannot be casual with evil, because evil will casually destroy you. If you watch evil, sinful things, if you listen to evil, sinful things, or you associate with people who do evil, sinful things, it's likely that you will begin to tolerate evil and sinful things in your own life. If you associate with it long enough, you'll adapt it. You'll adapt to it. You'll become hardened to God's word, and you'll start being that way. When we speak or question God's will, his word, in reality, our will is competing with God's will. We're saying, I know more than you do. You don't understand. You don't care. You don't feel. You just don't know. And God's saying, yes, I do. I've walked among you in the person of my son, Jesus Christ. I know every feeling you feel, every want, every desire, every need, every hurt, pain, and sorrow, and every joy in your life. Yes, I do. But our will competes with God's will all the time. When we want, listen to this, when we want what we want, God just may permit it, but the consequences may be severe. He wanted what he wanted here, and he had the audacity as God's prophet to go back and try to get God to change his mind. And what did he do? He walked in front of an angel who was going to cut his head off. By the way, if you read in here, I hope you'll read this whole thing. God, the angel, what the angel told him? I didn't read this, but I'll just real quick. He said, I was going to kill you and spare the donkey. Because the donkey was a lot more important than you are before the Lord right now. It's really interesting. Isn't this a great thing? Well, why don't we avoid this? I don't know. But I've never brought this in 40-something years. This is all new ground. Listen, when we don't choose immediate obedience, which is the easier way, then we'll have to learn to obey the hard way. If you don't humble yourself, God will humble you and you won't like it. This sounds awful, doesn't it? It's really not. There's something else here, real quick. Outward conformity does not mean inward conformity. Many people look like they love the Lord. They talk like they love the Lord, but in their heart they're divided. And yes, we're wrapping up. We're closing. God, listen, when you listen to God and honor Him, He will bless you. God honors those who honor Him. So give yourself to Him. Let Jesus Christ search your heart. What's it say in the Old Testament? Search my heart, know me. Search my heart, Lord, and know me, and reveal to me any unclean thing. You, please pray that prayer this day. Pray it all the time so that I don't become a Balaam, so I can stand strong, so I can be who you put me here to be. Give yourself to God because He's given Himself to you. Honor Him. And whatever He says to you the first time, you stay on it and do it the first time. And you'll never stumble off the path and have an angel of the Lord standing with a sword in his hand saying, this donkey is more important than you are this day. We're precious in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus Christ came and died for us and rose again. And what He asks in return is what I say in my word. Be committed to that and that alone. And I will bless you indeed and enlarge your territory. My hand will be with you and I'll keep you from evil. And you'll not cause me pain. Is that great? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus for this word, your will, your vision. We stayed a little long, Lord, but we need your spirit. We need you more than anything else in this life. And God, help us to listen. Help us to obey. Help us to honor you no matter what. If it says it in your word, it's final, it's true, it's real. And if we strayed from the path, Lord, lead us right now. Search our hearts and know us and lead us to repent of it, confess it, and let you heal us, deliver us from it, and set us free. Lord, your will be done. That's what you prayed, that model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in the name of Jesus. Amen.